Today's episode of Who's There is brought to you by the CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keen on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free next day on the CW app.
You or Jayla? Yo,
they wanna know. To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a lie.
Finish the lyrics. Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world?
Or do you need more?
Wow. Keep going. So hardcore. Wow, you're really good. Keep going.
I'm off the deep end. Watch as I dive in.
Wow.
Crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now.
This is part of a longer video, which I did not realize.
I thought he just did it once.
It's absolute. I mean, if you have Charlotte in the bag, you got to convince us by putting some losers up front. So, like, most of the video is losers not knowing how to finish. It's funny because they're bad. And then you anchor it with the lie, which is Charlotte.
This goes back to the days of what's her face from The X Factor. Susan Boyle. There's nothing more viral that we love more than a surprising singer. Somebody who you can't think can sing, but can sing. It is the oldest trick in the book.
Like, this woman does look like someone that you work with. And never Charlotte. Think about their personal life. You right. never think about what's going on with her at home. And oops, she's a surprise
That's
icon,
rude.
Right?
Why would you never think of what's going on at home with your friend Charlotte, who you work with at the Tesco?
No, I'm just saying, she looks like a coworker. She just looks like anyone.
Right.
She looks like anyone.
Right.
And Charlotte, you know, not even unfortunately, fortunately, Charlotte is an icon, a legend, and she is the moment.
Yes.
So that's very good for her. And I hope that she finds tremendous success thanks to her underground cover of Shallow.
Right. This is a good way to find success because it's a vibe. People are like, on, you know, they're rooting for you. They think you're the underdog.
But let's not pretend this is real.
But she might be the underdog in other ways. So I'm not like totally against it. Like maybe, you know, she's definitely like, from when I did a little Googling, she's definitely like a struggling lounge singer or from what
yeah.
I see.
And songwriter. Yeah.
Right.
We now follow her on Instagram, Charlotte Aubrey.
Right. I support this way of getting into the public's eye, mm-hmm. head, ears.
I'm all for it. No, I truly am all for it. I think this is a very clever way of doing it because we love a viral video. This is like a paint by numbers thing, but I'm not going to go out here and be like, wow, what a coincidence.
I know. His wows are so wow.
And she's like clearly a great singer, but she's not a great actress. So it's very obvious that she's expecting this guy to approach her.
Also,
with a microphone.
Notice she does the thing that they do where they cut down the song to just the best parts where she skips the next part of the song. Like you would if you were on TV and they were like, okay, we're going to do like a clipped version of Shallow.
Speaking of Shallow, according to PopCrave this morning, it has overtaken Justin Bieber's Yummy on the top 100 on Billboard, probably because of Charlotte.
Probably because of Charlotte, which is actually fascinating because that is just, it just, there's so many more elements in making a
song.
The
charts are now.
People go listen to a song now. The viral video of it all is very interesting to me.
And charts are now. Because charts take so many, the Billboard Hot 100 takes so many things into consideration,
right.
Fairly understandably, it's more interesting now. It's like actually fun to look at because it takes into consideration TikTok, which we'll get into later, and YouTube,
right.
And all these other sources of like your music
listening.
But
it's also so obvious that if you saw that viral video and you were like, oh, I'm so delighted by this, you might go listen to Shallow. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the
yeah,
most.
Absolutely.
It's the most obvious link. So stuff like that can bump up a song no problem. Meanwhile, Justin Bieber's doing like a week on James Corden to promote his album. Like, is anyone watching that? Uh-oh.
I'm not.
Yeah.
And there's Dance Monkey up there, but we can't get into that.
Well, we could get into that. That does. She is a, like, that is something
we'll
that
do
no
it
one
on
called
Tuesday.
About it.
No
yeah.
one called. No one called. We'll do it. I figured we would do it on Tuesday, okay. but no
okay.
one called.
Okay.
How are you, Lindsay?
Good. Thanks for asking.
it's really good.
Thanks for asking. How are
that's
you?
That's really good. I'm fine. You know,
okay,
my free.
Good.
Oh, wait. That's a Patreon story. Nope. We're going to save it for Patreon. No, I'm fine. I have absolutely nothing else to say.
Okay, because you're saving it all for Patreon?
I'm saving it all for Patreon.
Okay.
We got a lot of calls this week. Should we just get into the comments?
Because there's a lot. I'd love to get into it.
You are listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We're going to start with comments, move into questions, maybe play a game of Who or Them. Let's start with this one.
Hi, guys. I just had to pause the episode for Friday because I also suffer from the same dyslexia of white women, but mine also includes Bonnie Hunt. Who is that? Which one is which? Are they all blonde? Crunch, crunch.
So this caller confuses Helen Hunt, Holly Hunter, and Bonnie Hunt, which is interesting.
Just add on that trifecta. Bonnie Hunt, we've done Who or Them before.
Bonnie Hunt, what did we even say? I think we called her Them.
We did? Didn't we call her Them? We might have because we probably felt bad because Bonnie Hunt.
We love Bonnie Hunt.
We love Bonnie Hunt. But Helen Hunt, Bonnie Hunt, She's Holly polio. Hunter is exhausting. Even just saying those names, I'm tired.
I know. I got to sit down. Thank God I already am.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. Gosh, after listening to today's episode, I have to call in and talk about my own embarrassing dyslexia. I spent a solid year mixing up the names of Terry Gross and Terry Crews. See, I almost just blended their names just now. Wildly different people, I would say one's a who and one's a them, but I just spent an entire year accidentally calling one or the other the different name. So not as bad as Helen Hunt and Holly Hunter, who I also can't tell the difference between. Crunch, crunch, women don't belong in balloons.
Can I just say the name dyslexia thing is not mixing up, because I think the first one was like, I mix up white women. It's not that you think these people look alike. It's that their names sound
their
alike.
Their names are close.
So it's not, it has nothing to do with like, oh, I think, you know, these type of people all look the same. It's literally like that you've been calling, you know, whoever some other name, and in your mind, it's the same person. I do that all the time. You know who they are. If you saw a lineup, if you saw their faces, you'd be able to tell them apart, obviously, but that their names blend into one. So that's the type of thing that we're talking about here.
Weirdly, and that's what this caller was saying.
Yes. Yes.
But also the last caller was saying that the names all blend together with Bonnie Hunt, Helen Hunt, whatever.
Right. But they also happen to all be white women. So if you did, so they might also confuse them in general. Right.
That's a coincidence. The thing that I was going to add was that over this past Oscar season, I had been, and it's not quite the same thing because I feel like it'll go away because I don't really think or talk about Renee Zellweger all that much, but I kept accidentally, every time I was referring to Renee Zellweger for a few weeks, I was saying Reese Witherspoon.
Right. I did that too. I've done that too. All the time. Constantly.
And then I would, and then.
You weren't used to saying Renee Zellweger.
I know. I was used to saying Reese Witherspoon, but then Renee Zellweger's out here like promoting Judy or whatever, and I'm like, talking about her more.
Right.
Reese, Renee, there's similarities. There are double E's in there. There are R's.
It is funny. Terry Gross and Terry Crews is a really funny, because Terry Crews, if you didn't know who he was, it kind of just sounds like a random woman that you meet at the parent teacher conference. Ah, Terry Crews.
Both of those names, they're so ambiguous.
Right.
You know, especially in terms of gender. So
especially
it's like
Terry,
they don't,
right.
Terry Gross, Terry Crews, just like that says nothing. That has no, there are no physical characteristics when it comes to that name. Like sort of Bonnie Hunt, you kind of picture a white lady with blonde hair, you know?
There is something so funny about mixing up Terry Gross and Terry Crews when you know who they are in your mind. That is really funny. But otherwise, I could see them bleeding.
Yeah. Okay, next comment.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I'm listening to Tuesday's episode, and I had to pause at the moment where you were talking about Maddie Healy from the 1975 and call to let you know that one of my favorite facts about Maddie Healy is that his mother is actually Denise Welch. And I don't know if we've ever talked about Denise Welch on the podcast before, and I feel like it's kind of a little known fact that he's her son. But anyway, Denise Welch is this elder British former actress, now current panelist on Loose Women, which is sort of like for people who don't know this, Loose Women is sort of like The View for the UK. And I think it's a fucking amazing name for a panel chat show. Anyway, Denise Welch is one of the funniest people alive because she's constantly just like getting in all sorts of ridiculous situations because she's a little bit of a ridiculous person. One of my favorite games to play is to just Google her on any given day and read some of the headlines that come up. And it's usually really fun. I just Googled it, her, and one of the first headlines to come up is from Metro UK, and it says, Susan Boyle and Denise Welch at odds over surprise Piers Morgan crush. I don't want to know anything more than that headline, but that headline to me is perfect, and I just think that you should talk about Denise Welch more, because I think more people need to know who she is. Also, she was on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK, so automatic win in my book. If you just search for Denise Welch Pantsgate on YouTube, you will be entertained for hours. So yeah, that's my contribution on sort of circumstantially Matt Healy, but really more so his iconic mother. Okay, men don't belong in balloons. Bye.
I just want to say so many people called to correct us or give us more information about Matty Healy, but this is the call that I want. I don't give a shit about
Matty Healy.
Like, or I don't give a shit about, you know, other things that, like, he did on Tumblr in 2012, you know? I don't care that he dated Halsey. I don't care that he... Whatever. I
don't
care.
Want to talk about what I did on Tumblr in 2012.
Well, that's true. I don't either want to talk about what you did on Tumblr in 2012. But... what I care about is this amazing information that I had no clue that he is literally a prince and his mother is the queen of British talk TV. She's been on Big Brother. She's been on Dancing on Ice. She's truly a legend. She was on Coronation Street. She's like maybe more. She's definitely more famous than he is over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And also, I just want to point out that on Wikipedia, he's called Matthew. So everyone who called and was like, he's not Matt Healy, he's Matty Healy. He's called Matthew throughout her entire Wikipedia. You know that she's like calls him Matthew and that's
Matthew.
It. Matthew.
His father is an actor, too. Like, you know.
Hmm. Yeah. He comes from a showbiz fam. She's amazing. Yeah. I mean, she's just incredible. Loose Women is the View. I mean, it's there, the View. It's perfect.
Well, the thing is with Matty is Matty's doing quite well with his with his band, and obviously has a lot of followers and stuff. And he's trying to, you know, he's a rock star and he's very cool and stuff. And so I am warned about the things that I can say. But even just something recently, Matt had put, it was some album, somebody else's album, and he'd put, oh my God, this is the most amazing album. I never walked to school without listening to this album. And I just put, you never walked to school, period. All his fans went, ha, 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 smiling emoji. Next thing, Matt, would you please remove that, Mum? I'm trying to be a rock star and you're completely an utter...
She's so clearly like the ultimate entertainer. I mean, I'm trying to think of who I would compare her to here. She is like... She's like Joy Behar, but even more than that. Like,
yeah,
she's
because
on
you need to have you need to have an acting career. I mean, there's something very Rosie O'Donnell-ish about her. Like, in terms of, like, having done a lot of different types of things. Or Whoopi Goldberg about her. There's a Whoopi Goldberg-ishness about her.
But Whoopi's so serious now. She's way less serious, you can tell.
But Whoopi's not as drama as Denise Welch.
I mean, Whoopi, this woman is going on Dancing on Ice and Celebrity Big Brother, which she won, by the way. She won Celebrity Big Brother, which is impressive. Impressive.
Who is the American equivalent? Maybe there isn't one.
Oh, you know,
you know what is Sharon Osbourne? Sharon Osbourne. Wow, we got there at the same time.
It could be Sharon Osbourne, who is beloved, controversial, funny, has been in a lot of stuff. I guess she didn't really act, but she's game. She's one of the. She's definitely down for whatever.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Sharon's new hair? Everyone's talking about it.
Well, it's funny because it's like
everyone's talking.
So her hair is like now fake old versus fake young.
It's like fake white. It's really white. Which she copied, she literally copied Jane Fonda. Down to the cut.
Jane Fonda was like, I'm not getting any more plastic surgery. So Jane Fonda upped her, and then she copied Jane Fonda.
And then Sharon's like, no, but I'm going to need a new face in a couple of years.
That's what
Sharon loves debuting a new face.
Sharon would never not get a new face. Jane Fonda's like, I'm done changing my face. Sharon's like, what?
And that is in no way shade. It's just like, Sharon Osbourne loves A, getting a new face, and B, debuting her new face.
We're not shading. As you've heard on this podcast, she debuted her new face. That was her, not us, talking about, whoa, she has a new face, okay?
We've got a brand new set, a brand new host, Marie, and Mrs. O has a brand new face that we'll all see for the first time.
Hey, Who Weekly, long time, many time caller. So you guys were talking about Samantha Ronson, and I remember way back a few years ago, she was on a podcast with comedian, Liza Schlesinger, and she was telling a story about how she went to the movie and she saw the movie Boyhood. And she tweeted that if you like the movie Boyhood, we cannot be friends. And Patricia Arquette got triggered and responded, oh, honey, there are many other reasons why we can't be friends. And I just remember that. And I think it's very hooey. And I love you guys. I don't speak German, but I can if you like.
I don't speak German, but I can if you like. Ow!
Don't remember this happening. Guess I completely missed it. And
love it.
Let me tell you something. I do not want to be on Patricia Arquette's bad side.
Love it.
Nothing love it. I want less. That's a good response. I'm team both of them here.
Patricia Arquette, like, could eat you alive. I do not want to be on her bad side.
But also, I think so could Sam Ronson.
The other thing that we forgot when we were talking about Sam Ronson, which was annoying to me because I like to know everything, is that she's dating Cassandra Gray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brad Gray's widow. Brad Gray, he died. He was the Paramount Pictures CEO. He was a big... Mm-hmm. He was a big thing, and he died, and now she dates Samantha Ronson. So, like, his widow met Samantha Ronson, and now they're in, like, this love affair, which is kind of incredible mm-hmm. because Samantha Ronson's, like, set for life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she probably was anyways, but this is why Samantha Ronson doesn't have to DJ for her, you know, meals.
I feel like both of them are set for life. They don't need each other, which makes it cute.
But especially Cassandra Gray. Come on.
Yeah.
She has a lifestyle company too, Cassandra Gray. She has some sort of like beauty storefront that I ended up at when I was Googling this. Because someone did call and they were like, you forgot that Samantha Ronson is dating this woman.
Who doesn't have a beauty startup these days?
She had a beauty startup. Yeah, I know. I need a beauty startup.
I love to do an ad for a podcast hosted by a who we have literally talked about on the show.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We're going to talk about a new podcast called Jocular, hosted by none other than ER Fightmaster, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, they're best friends, and they're obsessed with women's sports. Like a lot of you, I'm sure. They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports. And in every episode, they're going to cover the latest games, they're going to debate pressing issues, and they're going to review how they're really horny for basically everyone in the game. You know, you love to see it. Just be honest about it.
You literally love to see it. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping.
So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts right now.
Hi, you probably have gotten a million calls about this, but I just watched P.S. I Still Love You, the sequel to All the Boys I've Loved Before, and I loved Jordan Fisher, and then I looked him up, and it seems like he's actually done a million things, and I was wondering if I'm just late to the party, and he's actually more of a them than a who. So please weigh in on that. Crunch, crunch.
That's true. He's definitely more of a them broadly than, I would say, both Lena and Noah.
Well, I think that I would say he has more of a background on, like, he didn't come out of nowhere like they did. So
like
in
Noah
that
did,
first
yeah.
show, in that first movie, when everybody was like, who is Noah Centineo? It's not as, Noah Centineo really had come from nowhere. Like, mm-hmm. he truly was an anonymous hunk. Jordan Fisher has been working his way along, you know, up the ladder or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a good fit for him, though. I feel like it was very, it made sense. He's like a theater guy. He's like a Disney Channel theater guy.
It almost takes him back. It takes him kind of back down to earth. It like brings him among the commoners, you know, in a way. Like he was a little too highbrow, because it's like it's a funny trajectory, because he like started on Disney Channel, like he started doing kid stuff, then he like got full Broadway on like two of the biggest
right.
shows on Broadway, Hamilton
right.
and then Dear Evan Hansen,
right.
where there's the barrier of entry there. So it's like theater people are very obsessed with him already, you know, and people who have seen those shows and love those sorts of things.
Right.
But then. It's like, oh, he has to go back to his actual demographic, which is young people and like more widely accessible stuff, aka a Netflix movie. Like, this is a huge role for anyone. But
right.
it takes him back down to like the people who kind of should be fans of his.
It's a huge role because of the marketing, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not even a huge role because of the movie itself, which is always fine. But the marketing that this project receives from Netflix and just, like, the media that it gets because it's, like, Noah Centineo versus this new boy, Like, who will she choose? It's a really good place for mm-hmm. him to be, in my opinion. Also, I interviewed him once when he was in Grease Live. Remember he played Duty? You don't remember this because you didn't interview him, but I did. And he was also at that point. His other thing was
Did I watch Grease Live?
Remember it was so good. It was I was living in LA.
It was fine.
Stop. It was one of the best live musicals. We weren't aware at the time, but it was incredible compared to the other ones.
Live musicals peaked with it, I guess.
No, they definitely did. It was like the multi-sets. They were running around. Jesse J, Julianne
Hough. Oh, yeah.
They were in the
studio backlots. Yeah.
Vanessa Hudgens. It had like the best of the best in that genre. It's hard to
beat that. Best of the best asterisk in that genre.
In that genre. I mean, come on. Jesse J singing Grease is the word. We'll never get that back. The point is he was also the other thing we talked about in my interview with him, which I remember distinctly. Was he was in a video game. Remember that game, that video game, that really scary one called, like, Before Dawn?
The one with Hayden Panettiere?
Yeah, Panettiere, Rami Malek, and Jordan Fisher. And they were rushing again. It was this horror video game. It was a scary
game. Oh, y'all were
game.
Really into that for a while. Y'all would play that.
I could barely finish it. I was too scared. Every time I played it, I would get too scared.
I never played it. Is that the dog?
Yeah,
whimpering?
Did you hear that?
He's thinking about Before Dawn or whatever.
Well, he's sitting in my lap, so I felt he whimpered a little.
Okay, so he was on the Disney Channel show Liv and Maddie, and then he was on, I love these because I absolutely did not watch these shows, Liv and Maddie, The Thundermans, Teen Wolf, I've heard of that. And then it says, he played the surfer gang leader, Sea Cat, in the cable TV movies Teen Beach Movie 2013
those were huge.
And Teen Beach 2 2015.
Right, those were the High School Musicals of Gen Z.
And those Gen Zers are now obsessed with To All the Boys. So, like, he's aging with them. He just took a break to, like, kind of become a more, you know, highbrow actor by doing theater. God, it's wild to me that he took over as Evan Hansen on Broadway. That's huge.
That's huge. He's in that right now, right? He's in that right
he's
now.
He's in it right now. He's
I
in it right now.
I think that this is the... He's got the... Who's another, like, theatery... He's amongst... There's so many of these guys doing this stuff. He's a Ben Platt guy. He's, like...
Ben Platt, so many of these guys are not actual hunks. Like, theater guys are rarely kind of crossover hunks. They're theater hunks, but they're not, like, crossover hunks. And
what about Hugh Jackman? What about Kevin Kline?
But those are extremely rare cases. I think, like, a Hugh Jackman is, like, is atypical, and so is Jordan Fisher.
I think he could do it. It's a matter.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's a matter of the right route, but it is impressive that he is kind of juggling doing the movie stuff and the Broadway stuff, because to be in maybe one of the bigger Netflix movies and being Evan Hansen and Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway at the same time, that's really good.
I think they filmed. First of all, I don't even know if he's in the third To All the Boys, but he.
He's probably not because. Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
She picks the other
boy. But in case he shows up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's like, hey, guys.
Didn't they film him at the same time or
Maybe.
Something?
So yeah, like, probably.
He can do his stuff. But he's also, so then after that, he was on Teen Wolf for a hot minute. He did the Grease Live, as we talked about. He was on Dancing with the Stars and he won.
Oh, then God, he was, really?
Then he hosted, season 25. Then he hosted Dancing with the Stars Junior.
Okay.
Then he was in Rent Live, which I did watch and already, I mean,
I know Rent Live was a mess. Let's not talk
Rent
about
Live
it.
Rent Live went away. Rent Live disappeared from my head. He's not in the movie version of Hamilton because he wasn't part of the original cast. He was Hamilton's son in Hamilton for a year.
So he was on Broadway in Hamilton.
Yes. He took over for, what's his name, the guy who's in The Height, Anthony Ramos.
There are lots of other theater guys who are jumping into, I mean, speaking of, Anthony Ramos is one of them, jumping into movies, doing Broadway, doing theater, like kind of doing both. I think, honestly, Lin-Manuel Miranda and kind of like the revitalization of
made
it cool. And now there are a lot of these guys who are making the jump into movies and TV because they can.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's wanted. Okay, I got to put the dog down.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Go down.
Wow, you sound like Viola Davis. Can I put my dog down?
Oh, that's the best part of the movie.
I gotta find that clip. Can I put my dog down?
And then the dog
finds
the
play
dog.
The clip.
Oh, God. Thank God she put the dog down. Okay.
Can I ask you some questions?
Oh, sure, of course. Let me put Albert in his room.
Albert, beautiful. Thanks. Can I put my dog down?
Of course.
I think about Widows all the time. Widows
is a great movie.
Astounding. Widows is so fucking good.
Astounding. Wow.
Watch Widows again.
Yeah,
if you've seen it once.
Four people saw it in theaters. It's a kind of...
If you've seen it and you kind of liked it, watch it again. You'll love it more. If you've never seen it, turn off the podcast. Well, visit our sponsors first, then watch Widows.
Who's got the Chicago accent? Who plays the
Colin Farrell?
Oh my God. What
amazing
performance by Colin Farrell as like that Chicago politician.
When Viola Davis has to put her dog down. Okay, Jordan Fisher is dating this woman, Ellie Woods.
Engaged.
Who is engaged to this woman, Ellie Woods. He's part of his, like, talking points when he was doing the talk show circuit promoting To All the Boys. He was, like, talking about he was engaged to this woman who he's been with, who he's been friends with for 11 years. And they met at theater
camp.
When
Bobby loves that you're engaged to a woman, he just says engaged to a woman 45 times every time he says
engaged to a woman. He's engaged to a woman. What?
Yeah,
oh, God, he's... you put the Until Dawn clip on here?
No,
oh, I hate the fake face.
Look at the fake
face. I hate
the
fake. The Uncanny Valley face.
Engaged
anyway,
to
that's
a
all
woman.
There is to say about Jordan Fisher. I think he has what it takes to become a them, but he's not a them yet.
No, not at all. Because look at Noah Centineo. I cannot believe we're still
not
Noah Centineo.
Noah Centineo is a them.
No, he's not. No,
yeah,
he's not.
I think he is.
No, he's not. He's in like two things.
I know, but they're two of the biggest things.
They're the same thing. He's in one thing. People
they're
over the age
things.
Of like 32 do not know who Noah Centineo is.
They're different things.
No, I'm sorry. No, I refuse. He's not of them. Don't. No.
But didn't he just get cast in something big?
He-Man or something.
Oh, He-Man. Yeah, remember he dyed his hair? And I'm sorry, Lindsay, he was in Elizabeth Banks's Charlie's Angels, parentheses, 2019.
Oh, yeah, everyone saw that. You're right, he is a them, because everyone saw Elizabeth Banks' Charlie's Angels.
Parentheses, 2019. Hi,
is there anyone famous who or them named Caleb? Crunch, crunch.
There's not. There's not one famous person named Caleb. No. Absolutely not.
And the proof of this is when you go to IMDb and you type in Caleb, the first suggestion is Caleb Landry Jones of Three Billboards, quote unquote, fame. That's it. The only other Caleb? Caleb McLaughlin, who plays, what's his name? One of the kids on Stranger Things.
The door is wide open for a famous Caleb. I think it's time to flood the market. If your name is Caleb, start auditioning.
We need one.
There's a hole. Seriously. Because the people who are in Hollywood, the big Hollywood, the biz people.
The big wigs?
They're going to say, oh, your name is Caleb. We don't have a Caleb.
We don't have one of those.
So let's get this guy. Let's get this guy.
If your name is Michael...
Yeah.
Change your name to Caleb.
Get at it. Yeah, seriously. Is your middle name Caleb? Bump that thing up to the front. Or just call yourself Caleb. Single name. Just Caleb.
Amy Klobuchar is like...
I'm Caleb.
When I went to Hollywood, everyone called me Caleb. Okay. The Caleb list on famous birthdays is hell on
earth. It's a bunch of TikTokers because I guess Caleb was a popular name. When for kids who were born in like 2005 or something.
It's like Madison.
Yeah. But let's see. Maybe some of these Calebs will jump over. Or maybe somebody will take our advice and just change their name to Caleb. Who's a struggling actor who we should just change? Chloe Grace Moretz should just change her name to Caleb. Moving forward.
Calling Chloe Grace Moretz a struggling actor is kind of a reach.
It's rude. But she should go by Caleb. Just one name, Caleb. See what it'll do.
The press Chloe Grace Moretz would get for going by Caleb would be unbelievable.
It would bump her back into the stratosphere.
Chloe who? Find out why this star changed her name to Caleb or something.
Just Caleb.
Mononymous.
She went from three names to one name. Iconic.
Jesus Christ.
Next call.
Clouds of Sils Maria 2, starring Caleb.
Two. Okay, move on.
Juliet Binoche's like, not interested.
It's just starring Caleb. Like,
what? No.
It's a one-woman show on Off-Broadway.
Yeah, great. No, and it's very meta, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
The movie is about the one-woman show Off-Broadway, but right. It also was an Off-Broadway show that they filmed to make the movie.
Yes.
Next call.
Who is Roddy Ricch? Like, it seems like everyone is talking about him today, including Tyler C. from The Bachelorette. Okay, thanks. Good form, Clothorne.
Everyone, including Tyler C.
from The Bachelor.
God, I hate that everyone refers to Bachelor contestants like they're elementary school students.
I know, it's like Bobby F. Can't they just have full names? I get that we don't want to repeat, but come on.
Joe, just call me Joe.
Sure.
As if you were one of those stupid 22-year-old girls with no last name. Hi, I'm Kimberly. Hi, I'm Janice. Don't they know you're supposed to have a last name? It's like they're an entire generation of cocktail waitresses.
Look.
Call him Tyler Cameron.
Has there ever been a Caleb on The
Good Lord. Probably. Probably.
Caleb needs to join the Bachelor.
He was
Bachelor.
Probably a personal trainer. He was Caleb. A personal trainer named Caleb.
Well, he didn't. He wasn't big
and
enough.
And he loved Ashley I. Okay. Who is Roddy Ricch? Roddy Ricch has the number one single song
is
in the country.
Is it still number one currently as of recording?
It was number one as of this AM.
Okay.
The number one song, The Box. I'll play it here. You've heard it somewhere.
Pulling out the coupe at the lot, Tony fuck 12 fuck SWAT, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a lick with the box, had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole damn seal, I'ma get lazy.
Catchy, catchy, catchy. It came out of December. It's like been at the top or near the top since it came out.
It's a TikTok song and there's a dance to it.
That always helps. There's a dance to it. There's also just another meme to it because it opens with like a squeaky noise. He's making like a squeaky noise with his mouth.
Yeah.
And people do TikToks about the squeaky noise. People do TikToks with the dance. People do TikToks. This is sort of like a TikTok meme that pops up with a lot of different songs, but the one where it's like, look at me, I'm ugly in this angle, but then I'm hot in this other angle.
Oh, love
but
that TikTok.
This particular version is like, people say lighting doesn't matter. And so it's like at the beginning of the song, it's like they're in bad lighting, but then they move to the good lighting.
Wait,
whenever the
what?
Beat drops.
The meme is good and bad lighting.
Yeah, but then it's also the one where they do the one where they the angle is under their chin, and you've got this unflattering below
right.
The chin angle. But then they move the camera up and the beat drops, and it's like, look how hot I am.
God, these kids, you know? They're so clever. The All kids. These hundreds of Calebs out here, just so clever.
So, as we said before, TikToks now counts for listens, but also the song just independently becomes catchy after that on its own merits because it's a good song.
I think it's less that it counts. I don't think TikTok counts for that much, or I think they're still figuring it out how much it counts or whatever, but it's more so that you would just go listen to it because you heard
you like it
a million times on TikTok. Yeah, it's more the catchiness of it that you would hear it.
But the song itself, there are plenty of articles about it. There's one on there's one on Slate, there's one on Rolling Stone. It's like LA Times, everyone's writing about this guy and this song. The song like never really should have been a single, but because it kind of went viral on these other things,
right,
became popular. That happens now. That's what happens now.
Singles are chosen by the people. It's almost like you release, if you don't have a traditional label drop, much like Justin Bieber's album, which is like kind of funny because whatever, I'll just get there in a second. You like would drop the whole, you would drop like 19 tracks and kind of see where they go in a weird way and then choose from there. What's funny about Roddy Ricch and The Box is that it came out the same time as Justin Bieber's huge, huge, huge traditional label release of his new album that has millions of dollars behind its marketing. And The Box, because of TikTok, is still number one. And Justin Bieber's like begging for streams on Yummy, essentially, you know? And it just shows that is not the way to promote an album or sell an album anymore.
Yeah, and like by no means is Justin's album a flop. Like it's the number one album, I think. It will be the number one album, but like you can't rely on traditional album promotion anymore because stuff like Roddy Ricch can pop up whenever.
Right.
It's more authentic and people care about it. So Roddy Ricch is a rapper. I think that most notably he worked with Nipsey Hussle. A lot before Nipsey died, and actually one of the last songs that Nipsey released was a collaboration with Roddy Ricch called Racks in the Middle. They were very, very close. Mm-hmm. He's released a few of his songs have like been pretty popular, but The Box is like definitely number one.
Right. And even pushed his album up the charts. So his album mm-hmm. was his first album, Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial. That's cute. It went up the charts once and then it went up the charts again because The Box went to number one.
Yeah. But he's from Compton. He's like pretty young. I think he's like 21. Mm-hmm. A lot of people you will see compare this to Old Town Road, but it's actually very different. Like this guy was actually
doing stuff. Old Town Road is such a unique thing. Nothing is like Old Town Road.
Yeah.
Truly. Like nothing is like, I mean, Lil Nas X literally created himself around Old Town Road, the song mm-hmm. coming into existence.
Roddy has been working with like high profile people for a few years, like 3 years so far, because it's like, you see, he's worked with Meek Mill. You see, he worked with Nipsey Hussle. You see, he worked with like DJ Marshmello. Like, it's like, okay, fine. That's big.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that it's like Justin Bieber is like begging fans to like turn on VPNs and like stream Yummy. And it's like, come on, you know, that is pathetic. And this song is easily sweeping for a more authentic and interesting reason, you know, and it's fun and good. And like, you need to, and the marketing machine behind Bieber, it's just like, it's overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is your global community calling from New Zealand. Can you please talk about Barry Jenkins and Lulu Wang? Indie film dams, but in general, are they still cuspy? Crunch, crunch.
I am one of the many who are charmed by this couple, this directing power duo. Also because The Farewell was probably my favorite movie of the year.
And all of Barry Jenkins' movies are, I mean, both of them, they're great. Two extremely talented filmmakers who are young, who are cute, who are basically like millennials or elder millennials who like understand social media. So they have like this cute viral twee relationship. It's very charming. We also like that they're in the same profession. So it's like all like lifting each other up, like creative partners. Like it's very
nice. I mean, are they the, okay, I just thought of this. Are they the alt Greta Noah Baumbach?
Like, yes. My God. Yes. Yes.
Are they, because, you know, I mean, I think we're all, I love Greta and I like Noah Baumbach, but I am kind of like skeeved out by the fact that they run each other's shit by each other, just because I want like an authentic Greta that's not like Noah Baumbach co-written secretly. You know what I mean?
That's not like, yeah.
I don't want him, because his thing is so specific. I don't want him tainting her work. I know that's like selfish, but so that's why their relationship, I'm always like, ugh. You know, when she's like, oh, Noah reads my work first, I'm like, that's so nice, but ugh.
But also, a lot of it is, you know, we're doing a lot of, you know, stan adjacent projecting here. We're making things up.
Oh,
we're
speculating. Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
In terms of speculating and speculation, it's much more fun and charming to speculate about the intimacies or like the intricacies of Lulu and Barry's relationship than it is to imagine what it's like to be at dinner with Noah and Greta. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess
you can have a lot of fun speculating about their relationship, and when you speculate what's going on behind closed doors at Greta and Noah's house, you're sort of like, I'd rather leave this door. Like,
well, it's also because I've seen so much of Noah's work and I've seen so much of Greta's work that I know their voices much better than I know Lulu, whose first movie literally is The Farewell, and Barry, who has about two movies, probably has two movies under his belt. Like, so I don't know their style. They're not, their styles aren't as kind of, this is gonna, memeable as the Noah Greta thing. We know they have these specific things and we're kind of like projecting towards them. These two, you're like, oh, that's so cute. You know, they're both in the same kind of realm of growing fame and working on
independent
these
filmmakers.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they revealed their relationship at last year's Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have like this very cute public facing relationship where they tweet at each other and they send each other videos and they're both so busy and they're so supportive of each other.
Right.
And there's something very cold about Greta and Noah's relationship that I think exclusively is because of Noah. Like, Noah's not,
well, they're also much
Noah's
more,
not
they're
this
more
charming
famous
guy.
The vibe is different. I just compared them because I was thinking of another director, married director duo. We don't have, what other director? James Cameron and
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. That's the only other one. Up. They're broken up. I mean, Can you think of any other ones? Maybe to a lesser degree. I don't know. It's James Cameron and Catherine Bigelow is like the one.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, wow, directors should not date, and this sort of seems, and this is very sweet. I don't know. They're very good at the performance of their relationship. They understand what we want from it, and it's like, is it authentic? I don't know, but it certainly seems like it. And they're cute whenever they post stuff online. That's
also
why people like it.
The Farewell is on Amazon Prime streaming, so go watch it.
Let's just play a quick game of Who Are Them. How about that? I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention. And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option. And you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. It's Caitlin in Austin. Just calling to talk about mail. How to pause your podcast. Obviously, USPS, them. I would also say Royal Mail is a them. Probably UPS and FedEx as well. But my question is, DHL, who are them? Crunch, crunch.
Wait, what?
DHL, who are them?
I mean, you know how much I love these types of questions.
DHL, who are them? 1, 2, 3. Who?
Them? What? You know what's a who? Lasership.
Lasership. Well, Lasership is evil.
Evil.
Lasership is like very associated with Amazon, and they treat their employees terribly.
You think DHL is a who?
Every time I get something shipped DHL, it's very rare. I'm like, oh boy, I'm never going to know. Like, you have no idea when it's going to show up.
But you know that it's a shipping company.
But it just behaves very erratically.
Uber
I don't.
Is not a value judgment.
No, it's not a value judgment, but I feel like the behavior of DHL is very, like, unpredictable. I don't know what to expect. Like, when I look at FedEx and UPS, I can type in a tracking number and know what I'm going to get. And when I type in a tracking number on DHL, it's like, good luck. I don't know.
You know what I think is very hooey, though? The true who them of the shipping systems. Is that the shipping company?
Is iMail and More?
No, that's the them. The true who's of the shipping systems is mixing up USPS and UPS. Come on.
That's name dyslexia.
Tell me that didn't take you, like, when you first came of age to, like, ship your own stuff and know what shipping was
and you were like,
packages.
Huh?
You're like, what? They're different, you know? Like, one is the mail and then one is, like, a company.
Do it.
Just saying, like, that was very confusing and still remains somewhat confusing for me in ways.
It's a little confusing.
Okay,
it's
so
a little
that's
confusing.
That's what I'm saying. The true news.
And the number one them, iMail and More.
Mm. Well, because they ship everything and they pick up everything.
They do everything.
Yeah.
Next call.
Nigella Lawson, who or them?
1, 2, 3.
Them.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right?
Sure. I wouldn't say absolutely, but sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, Nigella, her first name is actually more, she's like kind of a first name person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you hear Nigella Lawson, you're like, wait, which one? But it's like, oh, Nigella.
Yeah. She's like Caleb. She's like Chloe Grace Moretz's Caleb.
I don't know any Nigella. I know one Nigella. It's right. Her.
Yeah, no one, and Kay, no one knows any Calebs. It's just Chloe Grace Moretz, Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
California raisins. Them?
What?
What? Do they mean the actual, like, California raisins or the mascots of the California? They like, mean California both. Raisins, they mean both.
Which are the same.
So California raisins are like the, it's like the milk board. It's like how the country's milk board, all the dairy farmers of America came together and they created the Got Milk campaign, right? It's just like promoting milk generally. That's sort of what the California raisins thing
Haven't
is. So it's like
we
all
done
the,
this
all
before?
The people.
I'm
no,
having
deja absolutely
vu. I think
not.
We have.
All of the farms that raise, that make the grapes that turn into raisins, they're the California Raisin Advisory Board, and they created the California raisins in the 80s because they turned the, they made the raisins have personalities, and they had a singing group that was sort of like the Temptations, right? Wasn't there like a send-up
yeah,
of the Temptations?
We have done this before, but I'm happy
We've
to hear
never
it again.
Done the
we have. Yeah, I'm happy to hear it again, but I've heard the spiel from you before.
Okay, are they a who or them? One, two, three.
Them. Marketing them. Yeah. And remember when we used to do these without giving commentary each time? I feel like we've lost that flow, you know? We should get back
well,
into the
flow. We love to talk now. We've gotten obsessed with our own voices.
I don't like it. I think it's bad for us. We need to just keep this moving.
So the California raisins are them. Here's the next call. Also, never call about the California raisins again.
I know, because then you'll get the spiel again.
I know. I'm going to forget that I talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay, hi. So Dominic Monaghan is like a who, right? Have we talked about this before? And also, I don't know, is he like a them in not America? Good form, Bella Thorne.
Okay, this little hobbit. One, two, three, who?
Yeah.
Part of humongous franchises, and yet a who.
Yeah, he's a who. It's fine.
He was in Lost. He was in Lord of the Rings. He was in the newest Star Wars. He didn't even have a line, I don't think, just because J.J. Abrams is like his boy.
Mm.
He reminds me of, like, I look at him and I see 2004.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Medium time. We have a big question for you. When considering the time zones in the United States, we think Mountain Time, big who. Central Time, probably them with who energy. Eastern Time and Pacific Time, them. That's about it. Mountain Time, big who energy. Big who. Crunch, crunch.
I think that's fair in terms of American, North American time zones.
Yes. We're talking, yeah. Okay.
They're all who, they're all thems except mountain.
Here's my trying to be objective take as somebody on Eastern time, but that's like mm-hmm. that's my them. But mm-hmm. I think because television shows are Eastern time / Central time, those are the two leading thems of time zone.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And then PST.
PST, I'm like, oh, I got to do math.
Then Pacific you know? Time. You're right. Then Mountain Time. What other times are there? This is just America.
Like, I used to work when I worked at VH1 for however many years, and my job was literally making ads for television.
Right.
Oh, got to put the tune in. Don't forget the tune in.
Right.
Tune in never has Pacific Time in it.
Never.
Tune in never
or
has
Mountain
Pacific Time.
Time
in it.
Yeah.
Or Mountain. Right. If you live in Pacific and Mountain, you got to do some math.
Right, so
Central and Eastern, you're fine.
If you're doing math on TV times, you're a whoier time zone. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just sorry to say.
And I'm yeah, Pacific time, probably a huge chunk of the American population lives in the Pacific time zone.
Not my concern.
Doesn't matter. Not my problem. You still live in a whoier time zone.
Also, they get up later. They're like behind us. We're like ahead. You know, yeah. It's just like, you're just, it's whoier to be behind us. We're just,
yeah.
We're ahead.
Eastern and Central. Them.
Eastern Pacific, and Central,
I
would, them.
Pacific is cuspy. Mountain, I don't even know what's going on in Mountain. I don't know how to do the math to get to Mountain.
Like
I don't know what's going on with Mountain.
An hour less or more than... This is, again,
it's an hour
only
less than
US.
Central.
We are not
It's
equipped.
An hour less than Central.
We are not equipped to judge, like, the world time, okay? That's
no,
not in
no.
our...
Don't
not.
Even get me started on Greenwich Mean Time. I've never understood what that is.
Greenwich Mean Time.
I've never understood
time
what that
is. Time is so confusing. Timing. Like, time zones are so hard for me. I have... When I lived in Los Angeles, I fucked up time zones at least once a day. I would just be like... make a meeting and not show up because of time zones. It was so hard for me.
And they'd be like, Lindsay, we can excuse this like twice, maybe three times, but you've done it eight times.
And I did it to you, I'm sure, a few times. Like, I definitely was so confused about time zones when I was there. It really fucked me.
Wait, this is in some areas starting in 2007. The local time changes from MST to MDT at 2 a.m. MST to 3 a.m. MDT on the second Sunday in March and return. This is so confusing. Mountain time zone's crazy.
If you live in the mountains of mountain zones, that's on you to keep track of time. I'm not in charge of your time. If you want to watch Katie Keene on the CW, you got to do the math because it's Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or whatever. I'm sorry.
God, get ready to do your math.
Oh,
me,
great
if I live in the... Me, we're trying to watch live television in Mountain Time Zone.
Me, every day out, when I woke up in LA.
putting out my magnifying glass, getting out a steno pad,
time to
doing
do
a little
your
math.
Math.
Oh, my God.
We are not equipped to live anywhere else, apparently.
This is how a group can sell 10 million records and be broke. And everyone, get ready to do your math.
Quick question, how many time zones are there in the world?
In the world?
In the world.
20.
You would think there are 24.
Oh. Oh.
But there's actually 38.
I wouldn't think there was 24. I mean,
Well, because there's 24 hours.
Right, I know, I get why you would think that, but I personally thought there was 20, so I don't know. There's 38? Usually I, like, just trust the experts, but for this case, I'm like, fix this.
Who's the expert here? Galileo?
Yeah,
who's an expert?
Scientists who decided that we're going to do this for various reasons. But also I'm like, fix this, you know?
We're going to get a call from like, hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time, long time. I'm a time zone scientist working in like Cambridge. And it's like, what? Time zone scientist?
I don't know if time zone scientist is the proper term, but you know there's a listener out there with some connection to time zones who will like call this
like,
podcast.
I wrote my dissertation on time zones.
Truly. Truly.
Okay. I mean, we'd love you if you called in, if you wrote your dissertation on time zones.
We'd love
Next
you.
Next call.
Zazie Beats, who or them? I don't know if I pronounced your name right. Bye.
Zazie, who or them? 1, 2, 3. Who?
Who? Yeah, but...
Zazie, it yeah. girl, them.
But
on,
like
on their way
up.
Step
away. Could do it. Cuspy.
Could do it. I think cuspy, well, like...
Maybe.
Hasn't really led anything.
Right.
But everyone is clearly, she's clearly got
she's
the potential
on the
and she's got the momentum.
For hiring. Yes. Like her name's at the top of the list.
Yeah. Zazie is in, most notably, was the neighbor in Joker.
Right. We talked about this Oscars night.
She's also in High Flying Bird. Really, really good in High Flying Bird. If you haven't seen High Flying Bird, it's actually really great. That's the only thing I've seen her in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's on her way up. That's, yeah, who?
Mm-hmm.
But who?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that we are done here. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There, a subsidiary of Who Weekly, owned by Who Media.
LLC.
This was really fun. Thank you for listening. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM if you have any comments, questions for a future episode. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for weekly bonus episodes and daily episodes that we do a few times a week. It's a lot of fun.
Well, they can't be daily episodes if we only do them a few times a week.
Well, we have special episodes a few nights a week. We have special little 5-minute mini episodes a few times a week and then a weekly bonus episode that's full length. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts because we really, 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 really love those. And we will see you on Tuesday.
And
have
we
a great
haven't
weekend.
Said this in a while, but thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's.
Created our iconic Rita theme song. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
They want to know. Hey. Mia. Hey. Mia. Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
Today's episode of Who's There is brought to you by The CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free next day on The CW app.